You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we were talking about Isaiah chapter 63. As you recall, we were discussing the teaching about the Holy Trinity, that is, the distinction in the plurality of persons, namely, the Father sending the Son, as we see in the language of the messenger. For the one who is the messenger is the one who is sent. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and pick up again where we left off at verse 9 in chapter 63. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. The messenger of his face saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Now, so far the text. Now, in our passage, again, we're talking about the messenger of his face. Now, sometimes in your English translation, the translator will render the Hebrew word malach as angel, an angel. But the problem with the word angel is we immediately think of a created being and not the creator himself. Therefore, we want to make a clear distinction between a created being, an angel, and the messenger, the uncreated second person of the Holy Trinity, the one who is sent, the one who appears, the one in whom we see the Father. Again, in John's Gospel, we are taught that no one has ever seen God. Instead, they have seen the only begotten God who is at the Father's right hand, the Father's bosom, the one who is the Son, the eternal Word of God. Now, we talked about some passages in Genesis. We also talked about Exodus, in which we see clearly that the messenger of Yahweh is Yahweh himself, the person of the Father sending the person of the Son. Now, I want to show you a couple of other examples that can be seen in the book of Judges. And again, in the context, we can make a distinction between a created angelic being, which we will refer to as an angel, and the uncreated second person of the Holy Trinity, in which we will refer to as the messenger of Yahweh, the one who is sent. Now, for example, if you look at Judges chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now, the messenger of Yahweh went up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you into the land that I swore to give to your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall break down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. What is this you have done? So now I say, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare to you. Now that's the messenger speaking. Now notice how the messenger of Yahweh says, I brought you up from Egypt. I swore to give the land to your fathers. I never break my covenant. Again, the one who is talking is none other than God himself, Yahweh, the second person of the Holy Trinity. This is not an angelic being that is created, but instead the uncreated second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son who is sent. And he declares very clearly that he is true God of true God, begotten, not made. He is light of light, God of God. He is of the Father. He is Yahweh. Now, after this passage ends, in which the messenger of Yahweh speaks and claims to be Yahweh himself, we hear these words. As soon as the messenger of Yahweh spoke these words to all the people of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed to Yahweh. Now again, it was Yahweh who appeared to them. It's the Son. The Son is the one who appears, always teaching us the mystery of the incarnation. The Son is the one who always comes to seek and to save the lost. And here the Son is the one who brought them out of Egypt, teaching them the new Exodus, delivering us from the devil, from death, and from sin, the three great tyrants. Well, this is none other than Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior. But we know that this is not a created angelic being. Instead, this is Yahweh himself. The Father is Yahweh, the Son is Yahweh, and the Holy Spirit is Yahweh, yet there are not three Yahwehs. Yahweh is one. Now, let me give you another example in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6. Here again, in this passage, we know that we are talking about the uncreated second person of the Holy Trinity, the one who is sent to speak. In Judges chapter 6. In this passage, we hear of the call of Gideon, in which God comes and appears to Gideon. Gideon sees God. Now listen to the account, picking up at verse 11. Now the messenger of Yahweh came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Mennonites. And the messenger of Yahweh appeared to him and said to him, Yahweh is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, Please, my lord, if Yahweh is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, Did not Yahweh bring us up from Egypt? But now Yahweh has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. Now we want to pause right there and recall back in Judges chapter 2, it was the messenger of Yahweh who appeared and spoke, saying that he brought them up out of Egypt. He is the one who swore to their fathers to give them the land. He's the one who never breaks his covenant. And so now look at what's taking place here in chapter 6. Gideon is speaking to the messenger, the one who appears, the one who speaks. And notice this distinction between the one who is sent, the messenger, and the one who sent him. The Father sends the Son. And when you hear the Son speak, you hear the Father. When you see the Son, you see the Father. And notice this distinction we are taught here to make between the person who sends and the person who is sent. Likewise, notice how the messenger of Yahweh speaks about Yahweh as one person speaks about another person. His message to Gideon is very clear. Yahweh is with you. But notice immediately that Gideon is calling into question this word of promise, saying if Yahweh is with us, well, then where is he? He has forsaken us. That's what Gideon is saying. But I want you to follow this conversation, that the messenger is speaking about Yahweh as one person speaks about another. As soon as Gideon calls this promise into question, notice what takes place. The text then says, And Yahweh turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? Now again, who is speaking to Gideon? Well, it's the messenger of Yahweh. And so the messenger of Yahweh speaks about Yahweh as one person speaks of another person, giving him the promise, saying, Yahweh is with you. But when Gideon calls into question this promise, the messenger of Yahweh speaks, and he clearly is Yahweh. It is Yahweh who turns to him and says. It is Yahweh who then sends him. Now notice as the text goes on. And Gideon said to him, Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Now again, notice that Gideon is speaking to the messenger of Yahweh, who is none other than Yahweh himself. The Son is Yahweh. When the messenger speaks, Yahweh speaks. So Yahweh responds to Gideon's question. Yahweh said to him, Yahweh the one who appeared to him, the messenger of Yahweh. Yahweh says, But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midians as one man. Now again, the messenger of Yahweh came and gave the promise that Yahweh is with him, and now the messenger says, I am with you. Notice what's taking place here. Yahweh with him is appearing to him, speaking to him, giving him the word of promise. Now, going back to the text in Judges chapter 6, the conversation continues when Gideon responds and says to him, If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you. And he said, I will stay till you return. Now follow this conversation. The messenger of Yahweh appears and he speaks the promise, Yahweh is with you. As the conversation goes, Gideon calls this promise into question. He begins to doubt. But yet the second person of the Holy Trinity is slow to anger, patient, gentle with him, and gives him the word of promise and says, I will be with you, for he is none other than Yahweh appearing to him. Now notice that Gideon in this conversation then says, Well, prove it to me that it is you, Yahweh, who is speaking to me, Gideon. You get this? God is appearing to Gideon, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Gideon is having this conversation with him and wants to know if he truly is Yahweh. Well, he is. Now follow the text. So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket and the broth he put in a pot and brought them to him under the terebinth and presented them. And the messenger of God said to him, Take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on the rock and pour the broth over them. And he did so. Then the messenger of Yahweh reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the messenger of Yahweh vanished from his sight. Now in this conversation, you have two that are speaking. You have the messenger of Yahweh speaking to Gideon. The messenger of Yahweh appears to Gideon. And as he speaks, he says he is Yahweh. And Gideon responds and wants this sign. Well, then the messenger of Yahweh vanishes. Now follow the text. Gideon then perceived that he was the messenger of Yahweh. And Gideon said, Alas, O Adonai Yahweh, For now I have seen the messenger of Yahweh face to face. But Yahweh said to him, Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Now, throughout the Old Testament, we are taught that Yahweh appears, that Yahweh speaks. But again, in the New Testament, we are assured that no one has ever seen God. Because if you see God, you shall die. Well, here Gideon sees God, and he is shocked and relieved that he did not die. And the message of peace is given to him to fear not, for he came to bring peace. Now, later on in the book of Judges, we see a very similar account. This time, the messenger of Yahweh appears to Manoah. Now, again, notice what takes place. In Judges chapter 13 and verses 21 and 22, the messenger of Yahweh appeared no more to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the messenger of Yahweh. And Manoah said to his wife, We shall surely die, for we have seen God. Now again, just like in Judges chapter 6, here in Judges chapter 13, the messenger of Yahweh appears, and when Manoah sees him, just like when Gideon sees him, they both see God. But God did not come to destroy them. The Father sends the Son to save them. The Son is sent not to condemn, but the Son is sent in order to bring comfort and peace with God. Now let's go back to Isaiah chapter 63. And again, picking up at verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the messenger of his face saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Now, in this passage of Isaiah chapter 63, we are taught to make the distinction in the plurality of persons, all three persons of the Blessed Holy Trinity. The Father is Yahweh who sends the messenger of his face. That's the Father's face. And likewise, now we talk about those who did not receive him, those who rejected him, the messenger, the Son, they rebelled against him and they grieved his Holy Spirit. Again, this would be the person of the Father. The Father sends the messenger, and when the messenger speaks his message, he sends forth and pours out the Holy Spirit. But when the message of the messenger is rejected, the Holy Spirit is grieved. Again, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three who were present at the very beginning of creation and who were present and active in the Exodus out of Egypt. Now, in this passage, they rebelled, they grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. Now, Yahweh is the one who redeems the people are the ones who rebel. If you go back to Numbers chapter 20, for instance, you hear about this constant refrain of Yahweh redeeming and the people rebelling. Numbers chapter 20. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? That's at verse 10, and then later on in Numbers 20, at verse 24. Let Aaron be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land that I have given to the people of Israel. Now this is Yahweh speaking. Because you rebelled against my command at the waters of Meribah. This is Yahweh. They rebel against Yahweh. Yahweh redeems, but the people rebel. Now, this grieves the Holy Spirit. Not a force. The Holy Spirit is not a force, but a person. The Holy Spirit is grieved by such things. When you reject the Word of God, you resist the work of the Holy Spirit. You rebel against God who comes to redeem you. Again, the Holy Spirit is not a force, but a person. When you resist the work of the Holy Spirit, you resist the work of Yahweh. For example, if you look at Genesis chapter 6, we are told that Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And Yahweh regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Now, you don't grieve a force or an inanimate object. You grieve Yahweh. It's the rejection and the resisting, the rebelling against God who wants to redeem and recreate. And the heart of man is corrupt by birth, by conception. We are enemies of God that do not want to hear God's word. Yet God, in his compassion, in his mercy, and in his love, continues to send his word through which the Holy Spirit is given. But when you reject the word, you resist the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why in the New Testament, the apostles warn us about doing such things, that we should receive the word of God and rejoice in his voice. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 4, when the Apostle Paul is talking to the baptized in Ephesus, he says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Now, Paul is making that comparison between the people of God in the Old Testament who were redeemed from slavery in Egypt to the people of God in the New Testament who have been redeemed from slavery to sin and to the devil. And just like in the days of old, the people of God, when they left Egypt, when God redeemed them, when God took them out and led them to the promised land, yet they became resistant, rebellious to God, and refusing to hear his voice. Well, Paul warns us that we ought not to be like the people of old, who at one time rejoiced in the voice of God, but then became bored with it and began to rebel against it. And this grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul talks to the baptized and says, "Do not quench the Spirit." We are warned about the sin against the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus told us so. In Mark chapter 3, we have this account where Jesus himself says, "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." For this reason, we are warned not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God and not to quench the Spirit, the work of the Spirit. I mean, you cannot quench the person, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the one who continues to come to open our ears to hear his voice clearly, to open our eyes to see him clearly, that's Jesus, and open our hearts to believe in him steadfastly. But if we refuse to listen to the Word of God and reject and resist the work of the Holy Spirit, then we die in our sin. For God comes to bring us good news, glad tidings of great joy in the forgiveness of sins, where he gives to us the gift of faith, and he continues to strengthen that faith. But if we become hardened in our heart, calloused in our heart, and refuse to listen, then we lose faith. Therefore, the Lord warns us of this great guilt and eternal sin. Now, to be clear on this topic, we're not saying that a person could wake up one day and all of a sudden, without even knowing, commit the sin against the Holy Spirit. Now, in this life, the Lord continues to be patient with us, continues to have compassion on us, continuing to give us the opportunity to hear the word of gospel, the good news of the forgiveness of sins found in Jesus alone in this life. The Lord continues to give to us the gift of the means of grace, through which the Holy Spirit is poured out into our hearts, strengthening us in the true faith and keeping us, forgiving us daily. But if we end this life in a state of unbelief, without faith, then we die without Christ. But it's not God's desire that we would die without faith, therefore he continues to give to us the good news, the gospel, in the word and the sacraments. He establishes his church here on earth to continue to bestow the forgiveness of sins. While we are still living in this body, in this life, we still have opportunity to hear his promises that he is with us in the incarnation. He is Emmanuel, the one who comes to grieve and to suffer. These are all pictures of the mystery of the incarnation. The God who comes to be with us and who is afflicted in our sin. But yet in this life, he continues to give to us his grace and mercy. He does not desire that any would perish, but instead that all would believe and hear these words of comfort and peace, all for the sake of Christ, the one who is the mediator between man and God. But if we die without faith, if we die resisting the work of the Holy Spirit, refusing to believe, closing our eyes so that we would not see Jesus, closing our ears so that we would not hear Jesus, closing our hearts so that we would not believe Jesus, well, then on the last day, we will find ourselves in a terrible predicament, that God will turn and be our enemy. Thus, we need to heed these words of warning, no different than Hebrews chapter 3, in which we hear, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, for we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." While we take these words of warning seriously, we cling to the words of promise all the more strongly. For in Hebrews chapter 4, we are assured that we have a high priest. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus is the messenger of his face who is afflicted for us and with us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.